You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the show. We are getting right down to business this Saturday evening, January 9th. You're listening to The Political Cesspool with James Edwards and Keith Alexander. And did you know, ladies and gentlemen, as a matter of fact, The Political Cesspool radio program last week on Saturday night during our live broadcast was the first live show to conduct an interview about the takeover of the government facility in Oregon with someone who was a witness on the ground. You heard me correctly, ladies and gentlemen. Can you believe it? The Political Cesspool. This has become the biggest news story in the country for a full week. We were there. We scooped the national establishment press, the worldwide press. Yet again, we were the first to report on this with a witness, Sam Bushman, who called in. We're going to have Sam for 2 hours in the second and third hour as this thing continues to percolate and continues to materialize and evolve. Sam has inside information from the compound. He's going to tell us all about it. You will not want to miss, I am telling you, you will not want to miss the second and third hour. We were covering this breaking news on the air before anyone else, and we're going to continue to do it tonight. What news will we make or break tonight? Well, there's only one way to find out. You got to stay tuned. We don't even know what will happen between now and 9 o'clock Central Time, three hours from now.
You're going to get a blow-by-blow description of everything that's happening on the ground.
Well, that's absolutely right. Sam is back in Utah now. He was in Oregon a week ago tonight. Of course, strongly opposed to the takeover of the facility, but he was there. But the peaceful protest that preceded it, they were there assembled to protest the government's treatment of a ranching family. Anyway, I don't want to give spoilers, but Sam's going to be on for the second and third hour tonight to give you news that you will not find anywhere else on radio, television, or in print.
Let me just say this. Since I'm not going to be here for the last 2 hours, that's going to be Sam and James. But what is happening out there is based on an obvious miscarriage of justice. There was a deal cut with the prosecutor, and these gentlemen served 1 year because they did a burn on their ranch, which is typical in the West, and really it used to be typical everywhere, and it migrated slightly onto federal land, and for that they were subject to 5 years in jail. They cut a deal and got 1 year, and the judge basically agreed. Then the judge changes his mind once they serve their year and are out and decides to put them in for the remaining four. Typical judicial arrogance and tyranny involved there, and that is, you're not getting that report from the mainstream media. They're acting like these people are a bunch of nut jobs that are, you know, social misfits that are trying to manufacture something to complain about when there's nothing to complain about.
Well, just a point of reference, I guess, the judge that originally gave them the sentence, he thought that the mandatory 5-year sentence for what they got prosecuted for is arson of federal land. The fire spilt over into this land, and they got prosecuted under some obscure terrorism charge, and it came down to arson, basically. Well, the judge said 5 years was way too stiff. This wasn't purposefully done. I'm going to give them 1 year. They served their 1 year. They got out. Then the government prosecuted them again. It was a different judge, though, that sent them back for the 4 years that they reported.
Yeah, whatever happened to the constitutional guarantee against double jeopardy, I suppose.
Again.
Well, we know that went through by the boards because of all these retrials of so-called civil rights era violations that have happened in Mississippi. You know, they would prosecute them 4, 5, 6 times until some wheezing 80-year-old on a walker with an oxygen tank was trotted into the courtroom, and they finally found him guilty of some obscure violation, and the national media hooted like they had, you know, convicted him of murder. It's a Stalinist show trial to show people that nobody bucks the government or nobody bucks the revolution successfully. They're going to make you pay.
Well, again, that's coming up for the second and third hour tonight. all the news that is news coming out of Oregon. We're going to have the man who's the authority on the subject, our very own Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio, host of Liberty Roundtable. He's coming up second and third hour. If you're interested in this story at all, we're going to cover it from all angles and leave no stone unturned. We're going to throw the kitchen sink at this story in the second and third hour. So we only have Keith for an hour tonight under the circumstances, and so we're going to get to as much news as we can. Keith actually brought in more news stories to the studio tonight than we'd be able to cover in 10 shows, and he's bought some real doozies, and we're going to cover as many as we can before Keith checks out here at the end of the first hour. But before we get into the stuff Keith brought, we brought the story up last week. I just have to revisit it one more time since we're running short on time this segment, and then we'll get into all your news. The state of Israel banning this interracial romance novel for, quote-unquote, threatening Jewish identity. Now, Jews have a very interesting domestic policy for themselves, a closed border. They force the deportation of illegal aliens, and they frown upon miscegenation. Listen to this story, Keith.
And miscegenation for them is a Jew and a non-Jew, okay?
Right.
They have a much closer or tighter definition of this than any Southern segregationist ever had back in the day,
And this is their own education ministry, which would be the equivalent of the United States Department of Education. Israel's education ministry has disqualified a novel that describes a love story between an Israeli woman and a Palestinian man from use in high schools across the country. They say that intimate relations between Jews and non-Jews threatens our separate identity and that children aren't mature enough to understand the significance of miscegenation. That is the official word from the Department of Education. To that I say, that sounds like a very reasonable and healthy action to me. I think I'd like to see America officially adopt many of those
positions. Of course, it was the Jewish liberal contingent that led the charge against those laws in the United States that were struck down in the Loving versus Virginia case in 1967 by the U.S. Supreme Court. And they, of course, are at the lead. You know, Hollywood just can't miss an opportunity to show an interracial couple or an interracial love affair. The Kardashians are prime examples of this. That's celebrated as the model for romance. If you want to be with it today, you have an interracial romance in the United States.
Course,
but, of course, in Israel, it's verboten. What a coincidence. What a strange set of affairs. I'd like to see Benjamin Netanyahu make this the case for this differential treatment.
All right, and the reason that we draw those lines of distinction is that, of course, the same people who control this policy in Israel, their agents here in Hollywood and in the United States government and all of our institutions of power have a very different policy that they are advocating that we white Americans take for ourselves. I say every nation deserves and should be allowed to have a distinct identity and a cultural heritage. Again, though, it's interesting.
Well, every nation is a blood and soil nation, despite what Jewish neocons would tell you. They say tell you that America is a proposition nation, but that every other nation in the world is a blood and soil nation, apparently, like the state of Israel particularly.
All right, so I'm trying to get my levels right here. Figure out what
your insulin levels, your blood levels are.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I was adjusting your knob and not mine. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get this sorted out in the commercial break. It seems like the first segment's always screwy here with our level. And when we come back, we'll go from Israel to Maine. Only the political cesspool can go from Israel to Maine in a single commercial break. We're going to do it right after this.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
A final word on this Israel thing. You know, banning the book because it threatens Jewish identity and because a book about miscegenation, a book about miscegenation children shouldn't be subjected to. Their same agents here advised the exact opposite for us. I said how rich that hypocrisy was, almost as rich as the pompous statement signed by over 1,000 rabbis a few days ago, in which they petition America to settle millions of Muslim refugees, and how wicked and hateful Americans are who oppose this. But somehow, Keith, not one rabbi signed a similar statement about letting non-Jews into Israel.
Massive hypocrisy. Breathtaking hypocrisy is the standard.
Okay. All right, let's go to Maine, as we promised. The governor in Maine is in a little hot water for being a racist, for saying that drug dealers in Maine are preying on white girls. He used the term white girl. Here's the story out of Portland, Maine. It's an AP story. Governor Paul LePage said out-of-state drug dealers are impregnating young white girls, and his remarks were quickly denounced by critics on Thursday as racial fear-mongering. LePage, talking about Maine's heroin epidemic, described out-of-state drug dealers as guys named D-Money Smoothie and said half the time they impregnate a young white girl before they leave. LePage, who is white, didn't describe the races of the drug dealers on Wednesday during a town hall meeting in Bridgeton, and a spokesman said Thursday he wasn't making a comment about race. LePage is a Republican. I want to pause right there, Keith, just for a second. It's interesting that everybody knows what he's talking about, even though he didn't even mention race in this. He said that the drug dealers were targeting young white girls. Everybody instinctively knows the racial characteristics of most drug dealers, and so therefore it became a racial statement, even though he didn't inject race. They knew it to be what it was. So aren't they the racist in that case?
Well, particularly the name D. Smoothie or whatever it was, whatever the name of the prototypical drug dealer that they're talking about. Well, you know, it was Richard Russell, the former senator of Georgia back in the 50s, who said that the sure cure for liberalism is a strong dose of Negroes. Well, apparently now, for once in the history of mankind, the state of Maine is getting a strong dose of Negroes. And that's what has brought this whole matter to the attention of the governor of Maine. He makes a typical common sense comment about the heroin epidemic and the racial characteristics of the typical pusher there in Maine. And, of course, the wrath of Khan is visited upon him. And he's up here trying his best to skirt and skate away from these comments. You know, he needs to take a lesson from Donald Trump and tell him, well, you're darn right I'm talking about the group that you're talking about. And if I'm wrong, if the statistics prove me wrong, show it. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean, and it's time for liberals to own up to these problems and to call them by their proper names.
The NAACP's chairman in Maine said that the governor's comments were sad and foolish.
Well, I'd always heard regarding defamation that the truth was an absolute defense, James, and I'll leave it at that. The truth is an absolute defense, and Governor LePage is not guilty of defamation. He's guilty of telling the truth.
Well, we remember Nick Griffin, our friend, the former chairman of the British National Party, former elected member of European Parliament, when he was on trial for making very sensible and entirely defensible comments. The judge, now this was in Great Britain and not America, this was a few years ago, but the judge said that the truth is not a defense.
No, it's not a defense if you're a white defendant, apparently. In fact, I just wonder what the Department of Education in Israel would think about his comment that these drug dealers with names like D. Smoothie would impregnate a white girl before they left. What if he was talking about a Palestinian impregnating a Jewish girl? You know, somehow Jewish liberals don't seem to understand that there's a disconnect, a moral and mental disconnect between protecting their kind and telling white Gentiles that they have no grounds and no moral standing at all to defend their own kind.
Keith, we got another story here that you brought in. Now, this is interesting. It's actually two stories in one. From the Friday, January 1st edition of the Memphis Commercial Appeal, there's a story with the headline, Fighting Food Insecurity, One Meal at a Time. And basically, the story talks about how we're not doing enough to feed the poor. Then, 2 days later, in the same newspaper, mind you, talking about hypocrisy of liberals, there is a front page headline, Battle of the Bulge. And it talks about how the poor are eating too much.
Yes, and talking about how we need to educate the poor and how Michelle Obama, bless her heart, is trying her best. And this headline shows two white women, of course it's white women, and they would be what Blind Lemon Jefferson, the black blues singer back in the 20s, would have described as a heavy hip mistreater. These women both have posteriors on them about the size of a number 10 wash tub. And again, you know, the symbolism chosen by the commercial appeal, the communist appeal, as we call it here, is telling. It's two white women, not two black women, not even a black and a white woman. They could have done it either any way they wanted to, but they have to show two white women, because if they had even shown one black woman with a white woman or two black women, they would have been charged with racism. And that tells you everything you need to know about race relations in America today. Basically, there's one group that you can dump on with impunity, and that's white Gentiles. Now, liberals talk out of both sides of their mouth. They tell us, on one hand, we're hearing all these plaintive commercials on the radio about, you know me, I'm in the carpool, in the car next to yours every day. Our children go to school together. One out of six Americans is hungry, is food challenged, right, and whatnot, right. And yeah, all that stuff. But then on the other hand, 2 days later in the newspaper, they run a program saying that the poor are getting so much food that when left to their own devices, they're eating themselves into a state of morbid obesity. Now, which is it? Is it, well, you know, one of these stories is bogus. And I think we can all look around us, see the morbidly obese people in our midst. There used to be such a thing as the fat man or the fat woman in the circus. There's no need for that anymore, because those people are around every corner, every grocery store, every restaurant you go into, you'll encounter one. So all this stuff about food insecurity and how we need to give till it hurts to the local food bank is a bunch of baloney. Why doesn't someone besides the political cesspool call these people out on their obvious lies? They just want to milk more and more money from middle-class people to effectuate transfers between whites and non-whites. That's the bottom line of why they're doing what they're doing.
It's classic. Conservatives, particularly white conservatives, are always at fault no matter what. And two different stories that were published over the span of 3 days in the same newspaper, we were at fault for not feeding the poor. Then we were at fault for giving them so much food they eat themselves into a stupor. It's not my job to feed anybody except my family, okay? And it's just like the whole thing, whites are guilty of racism when they engage in white flight, participate in white flight. They're also guilty of racism when they gentrify neighborhoods, which means move into majority-minority neighborhoods.
Yeah, whites are guilty of racism when they move out of a neighborhood, and if they move into a neighborhood, they're guilty of racism as well. So go figure. You know, there's you can't win. You might as well just submit to whatever punishment the liberal Solons of America see fit to visit upon you. Because if you're a white Gentile, you are undeniably guilty of racism. It's in your DNA. There's nothing you can do to avoid it.
That's right. The more you do, the more they heap on the R word, the scarlet R. That's okay. We are what we are, and we're not ashamed of it, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a break. When we come back, shipping containers offer shelter for LGBTQ RSLTLNE youth.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen. Do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Open your eyes, America. 50 years of cultural Marxism, institutionalized anti-white propaganda, and dysgenic policies on a wide scale have put Western civilization in peril as never before. Metropolis after metropolis, city after city, and town after town have changed from gleaming alabaster to grim third world hellholes. Positive change at last is in the air. Make America great again by supporting Donald Trump for president. Make your financial contribution today at thedailytrump.org. Also, go to the internet or to YouTube and check out these websites and their videos. The American Freedom Party, thedailytrump.org, Faith, Reason, and Western Civilization, American Renaissance, Occidental Observer, Political Cesspool, WhitakerOnline.org, RobertWWhitaker.com, DailyKen.com, Council of Conservative Citizens. Be a part of this great effort to save Western Civilization. Paid for by the American National Trump Super PAC.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Now remember, folks, tonight's schedule, tonight's lineup for the live broadcast is a little unusual, a little different than our standard template in that we only have Keith Alexander for the first hour tonight, and during that first hour with Keith, as you've already seen during the first two segments, we're covering as much news, a variety of stories, as we possibly can cram into it. And then in the second and third hour, we're going to continue on with Sam Bushman. We're going to give you the inside information from the developing situation in Oregon, the fluid situation, ever-evolving. The political cesspool last Saturday night became the first live broadcast in the country, indeed the world, to interview a person who had been there at the rally that preceded the takeover of the wildlife refuge up there in Burns, Oregon. So we scooped them all, beat them all to the punch. Absolutely incredible what this show with a shoestring budget is able to do. We'll talk more about that in the second and third hour. But back to the news that Keith has brought in tonight. Got a headline here. Shipping containers to offer shelter, transitional housing for homeless, lesbian, gay, bisexual, as Eddie calls them, transvestite youth. And I guess they're not going to be putting them in the shipping containers and shipping them out of the Confederacy, are they, Keith?
No, that would be an idea, but I don't think that's going to be the plan. Again, why does something like this merit the headline in the local segment of last Sunday's Memphis Commercial Appeal? Again, all the news that's unfit to print is exactly what the leftist news media of America chooses to force feed us. There was an article in today's Commercial Appeal, a full half of a page of paper, about some silly little giving away of a commendation by the Mississippi legislature to the widow of Vernon Dahmer, who was a supposed civil rights hero back in the day. Not a week can pass here in the former Confederacy without your local newspaper running some type of biopic, you know, some in-depth feature on the sainted days of the civil rights movement. They just will not let it die, James.
Well, you got one here where this 90-year, every civil rights activist lives to be 90 or 100. None of them.
In fact, they're immortal.
Certainly in popular culture they are. So you got this one here. I want to go back to the shipping containers, housing. Well, actually, let's go back to that. Well, I don't know where to go. You got so much stuff here. Dale Bumpers, though, he's 90 years old. Now, this was a white guy who was a civil rights...
An Arkansas Democrat who was first in the House of Representatives and in the U.S. Senate, taking the place of William J. Fulbright.
And he was on the Charleston, I guess Charleston, South Carolina?
No, Charleston, Arkansas, the bustling metropolis of Charleston, Arkansas. He was on the school board. And, of course, out of everything he did over the course of a 90-year lifetime, the thing that they celebrate him most for is what, James?
He voted to integrate the school district in that little hamlet. And that's what he's remembered for. And that's why he's called a legend. And that's why he's worthy of...
And that kicked off his whole political campaign. All you have to do is support liberalism in one of its manifestations like that, and you're caught in the jet stream of politics.
A guy like that would be drummed out of Israel for having opinions like that.
No,
and
imagine,
rightly
imagine
so.
Imagine what he'd do if in Israel he said, I want you to make sure that we get enough Palestinians into our school system.
Let's just cut to the chase here, Keith, and let me ask you this. Why is it that Israel wants for themselves a racially segregated state? They ban books that promote miscegenation. They close the border, they throw them out. Why do they want that for themselves and want something so different for us? We can understand why they would want it for themselves. It's natural to have an identity in a nation that reflects that identity. Why do they want something so different for our people here in America?
Because they seek to destroy us and they seek to preserve themselves. That's the long and the short
answer. That's the short answer, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, now back to the container story. As I said, we're bouncing around a lot. We only have Keith for an hour. We're going to give him a full utilization. Cover a lot of news, just cramming it in. Back to the shipping container story, Keith. Basically, what was the gist of that? So you know what they're talking about with the shipping container, right, folks? It's one of those big containers
that
you
see. Intermodal things that they put in the holds of ship, and then they take them out on electroport and put them on
a
frame back of a trailer truck.
Right, a tractor-trailer.
A big rig, 18-wheeler. And carry them around.
So these homosexuals are supposed to live in these things, or...
Yeah, you would think that would be cruel and unusual treatment, but right. Unfortunately they're touting this. That's what we need to do with all of our empty and old boxcars and intermodal
How
containers.
Many homosexuals are just living under bridges? I mean, most of them are fairly well employed.
Yeah, what is the deal here? And why, out of all the poor people in the world, do we have to focus on LGBT poor people? I had no idea that we had some great LGBT poverty problem in America or in the world. But apparently we do,
exactly.
and it merits
front page coverage
in the commercial appeal in Memphis. Go figure this. You know, this is the first time I've heard of this, and I read it, and, you know, my jaw just drops.
If you got on the political cesspool, by the way, a new article out about the political cesspool. Guess why I'm a racist this week? A new article out about the political cesspool. It took them, they're getting a little slow. It took, you know, it's not just our fans and friends and family that listen to this show. Our enemies listen to every show, too. Hang on every word, apparently. I saw an article that came out just this week talking about how racist we were for agreeing with Jesse Lee Peterson. they had three clips. They went into the archives and pulled three clips of you and Jesse talking, Keith, and talked about how racist the commentary was, and that it's no it makes perfect sense that a racist, anti-Semitic show like The Political Cesspool would agree with somebody like Jesse Lee Peterson.
Yeah, who's black as a coal scuttle, by the way. And, of course, his race means nothing to us. We're the people that really follow through on Martin Luther King's suggestion that in the ideal world, people would be judged by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. We are very impressed with the content of Jesse Lee Peterson's character, and therefore his skin color is totally irrelevant.
But what I was saying is, if... if you got on the political side, I said that to say this, you know, they listen to every word. If you got on here tonight and said, we need to put the poor homosexuals in shipping containers, do you think that would get adulation and praise like this story got, or do you think you'd be...
No. In fact, if we had suggested that they use shipping containers for housing for them, we'd be roundly denounced as cruel and unusual bigots. But on the other hand, the left does it, and they're compassionate individuals. Go figure.
Eddie's got an idea.
Let me ask you this. Who was it that came up with that criticism of the show about Jesse Lee Peterson's interview?
The reporter's name was Miranda Blue. I can't remember the...
Was it in Memphis?
It wasn't a local story, no.
Okay.
Eddie's saying something, but he's not mic'd up. All right, Eddie says we should put the homosexual, in the Jewish community center.
Yeah, that'd be a great place to put all people that are suffering from hunger or... inadequate housing or anything else, you know, because that's certainly where the money is.
All right. Well, let's see how long we have until the next break. We might have time to work in one more quick one. I want to save Samuel L. Jackson for the last. Well, this is a story. I don't even know if this is a story. It seems as though we have a black representative that is under indictment for corruption and fraud. That's really unusual.
What a surprising thing. Well, this is...
He's been framed,
well,
obviously.
This is not only... a black individual. This is the head of the state of Tennessee legislative caucus. In other words, he is a state of Tennessee elected legislator.
And Democrats are the minority party here.
Right. And
in more ways than one.
And he's a black individual, and he's the head of their caucus. He's the head of their party in the Tennessee legislature.
And he's corrupt.
And he's having to step back amid fraud charges. Says Armstrong, focusing on indictment. And James, read some of that to us.
Well,
I
thought you were going to. I got a big cube of ice in my mouth now. But State Representative Joe Armstrong said Thursday that he quietly stepped down from his House Democratic Caucus leadership position after being indicted earlier this year on federal fraud and tax evasion charges. They must have confused him with Pappy.
Right. Well, let me tell you what a situation. You know, in my, what a surprise. This seems to happen to so many of these prominent politicos in the Democratic Party who happen to be black, but, you know, we're not supposed to notice that. In fact, what this probably
is... That's what we
is,
said with Anthony Cumia. When Cumia was on the show, we said political correctness is a war against noticing things.
Yeah, and see, we can't notice this and not be politically incorrect, but, of course, the Memphis Commercial Appeal can report on it, again, in a much smaller article than... the LBGT youngsters in container
I'd like to go see where these containers are. Do they put air conditioning in them? It seems like that would be cold and uncomfortable.
Yeah, or hot and miserable in the summer and cold and uncomfortable in the winter. But nonetheless, you know, this is a small little snippet of an article in the December 25th commercial appeal about the black representative stepping down from his position as the head of the Democratic caucus. But the other thing was a full-page headline.
I'm sure they'll replace him with somebody very worthy and a good steward of the people. And,
yeah, another saintly individual who's
constitutionally
immortal.
Constitutionally sound.
And we'll see articles 50 years from now reviving his memory, you know, like Vernon Dahmer here.
We got to go to a commercial break. We'll be back. One more segment tonight with Keith. We're going to talk about Samuel L. Jackson and the Hateful Eight. Well, he's hateful, all right, and we'll tell you why.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, one more segment with Keith, and we're going to talk about Samuel L. Jackson. This, too, was a story that we mentioned very briefly in passing last week, but we got a little more meat to it now. I think he's probably the most obnoxious actor in Hollywood. Like Oprah Winfrey, who once said that white people need to die before we can achieve racial progress. And you remember Oprah was in Europe one time, and she went into the store, and she didn't get recognized, and the store clerk didn't automatically give her the most expensive purse in the store, so therefore the clerk at the store was racist because she assumed that Oprah couldn't afford the most expensive thing just because she's black. I mean, that's just so ridiculous. Just all of these grievances. Jackson's always complaining to the media about how racist America is while attacking white people. And like Oprah, he's too stupid and filled with hate to admit the obvious truth that it was white people who made them rich and famous. Despite a lack of talent, he's a multimillionaire. She's a billionaire.
There wouldn't be motion pictures if it had not been cultural appropriation
or
by
television
black,
and all of these other things.
And he would have no job.
Well, if their ancestors had remained in Africa, would they have had better lives than the ones they enjoy now, or worse lives? And, you know, but since they live in a white country that advances the interest in careers of non-whites before that of its own sons and daughters, they flourished. And again, if this country really was so racist, people like Oprah and Samuel L. Jackson would just hop a flight back to Africa and live happy. But of course, don't hold your breath waiting for that to happen. But as we mentioned last week, his latest stunt is to say he was upset about the San Bernardino shootings because the killers weren't white. He wanted them to be white, and since they weren't, he was very upset about that. He didn't say, "I'm sorry that a bunch of people got killed." He said he was just sorry that the killers weren't white. And he complained a couple of years ago when there was a Hurricane Isaac, and he said, I wish it had killed, you know, I'm upset it didn't kill Republicans. You know, why do we have hurricanes like Katrina hitting New Orleans?
Another code word for white people.
Right, exactly. And anyway, he said Mitt Romney was a Klansman and all this other stuff. Now, compare the price that he's paid, which is absolutely nothing, to that which Mel Gibson played. He got a little drunk and said some inconvenient truths. Mel Gibson cost him his career. Jackson's in these ubiquitous Capital One commercials. He's actually, technically, the highest grossing. His movies have made more money than any other actor because he's been in so many movies. All totaled, his box office receipts of the movies he's played a role in outnumber that of any other actor. So anyway, I want to play this one clip. It's 28 seconds long. This is when he was promoting the movie Django Unchained, and we all know about that movie. Listen to this white cuck that he completely humiliates. Let's play this clip very quick. And emasculates. Here we go.
You know, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding the usage of the N-word in this movie. And
no, nobody, none. The word would be...
Oh, I don't want to say it.
Why not?
I don't like to say it.
Have you ever said it?
No, sir.
Try it.
I don't like to say it.
Try it.
Really? Seriously?
We're not going to have this conversation unless you say it. You want to move on to another question?
Okay. Awesome. I don't want to say it.
Come on.
How pathetic. I mean, how utterly pathetic. Oh, I don't like to say it. I'm not going to say it. Oh, no, sir. I've never said it. I do take comfort in one thing, Keith. I've never said it, and I never will. You know, Samuel L. Jackson, his shtick is just getting on and screaming that word. But I do
just
take
like
comfort
black
in that.
Rappers.
I looked this up. This is the truth. Now, we're talking about breaking the news. Yeah, like the rappers and basketball players. You know, we ran a story a couple of years ago. NBA players say you can't go one play down the court without one of the NBA players calling each other that word. And this is the thing. But I looked it up. So I said, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, all these movies he's been in, he's in every Capital One commercial. I was looking up this story, and I saw he had a website. I said, I'm curious. You know, he's ubiquitous. He's all over the place. I wonder what receives more web traffic, thepoliticalcesspool.org or samuellljackson.com. And there's an easy way you can find out which site receives more. Once again, folks, the political cesspool completely blows away the amount of web traffic that's got.
And, of course, Samuel L. Jackson completely blows us away with the income he earns from being on the media. And,
true.
See, have you seen those ESPN commercials where – the one white guy in the commercial is Terry Bradshaw. He wants to get on the bus with Samuel L. Jackson, Charles Barkley, and Spike Lee. And they tell Terry Bradshaw that he's been replaced as the funny man by Spike Lee and are putting him down, and he's acting like a doofus and acting like a goof and a marginalized individual. ESPN is run by what group of people? Presbyterians, Southern Baptists, or Jews, James?
That's absolutely, yeah, exactly. And anyway, so I do take a little comfort knowing that we get more web traffic than Samuel L. Jackson, despite all the movies, despite his fame and celebrity and movie stardom. We get more web traffic. Literally, our radio show has a bigger online audience and web presence than that of a media manufactured star who's seen by literally millions of people on a daily basis. But he's in this new movie, The Hateful Eight, big new Quentin Tarantino movie. You brought in a story about it. I guess you read it. What's it about?
Well, it's about even the liberals at the commercial appeal, or the communist appeal as we call it here in Memphis, think that it is hateful. It says, hateful, yes. It is indeed hateful. every movie Quentin Tarantino makes is hateful. In fact, the subtext of every movie he's made from Pulp Fiction forward is how blacks in particular and minorities in general should go about killing white people, white Gentiles. That's the whole, that was, remember the young white drug dealer that gets blown away by the black drug
kingpin? That's Samuel L. Jackson's character that shoots him.
Yeah, that's it in Pulp Fiction. Every other movie has just ramped it up to now about the third or fourth power of whites being killed in his movies. Quentin Tarantino's movie career is based on black people killing white people. Why any self-respecting white person would go to see one of these movies and pay to see it is beyond me. You know, I would like to get in and do a movie review of these things, but quite frankly, the only way I'm going to do that is if I can sneak in, because I'm not going to pay a red cent to help finance Quentin Tarantino's career or Samuel L. Jackson's.
I don't want to beat a dead horse. I don't want to circle back. And Eddie said he'll beat it. I just want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, because you've accomplished all this, do you know how incredible it is that we have a higher web presence than that of a guy that's in all of these major movies, including one that's in the theater right now? You would think that just people who see the movie or see these commercials would say, I want to go check out his website or something. It's almost unbelievable.
I think even this conservative individual that was interviewing him on that tape that you just ran knows deep in his heart that Samuel L. Jackson hates his guts for no better reason than race. Samuel L. Jackson is a racist. We're not. Samuel L. Jackson is.
We understand racial realities. We talk about racial realities very frankly and very candidly. We don't get any satisfaction in the fact these truths exist, but we are going to tell the truth as we see
We're going to speak truth to power, as the liberals are always advising us they do. They don't. We do, folks.
And we understand how it is. But look, you know, come on. Everybody talks about how evil we are. Well, I say everybody. Our detractors in the media, the ones who are jealous about us because I guess we have a bigger audience than they do. You know, not only are we outpacing this movie star, we outpace a lot of big talkers on Fox News. Now, obviously not O'Reilly and not Limbaugh.
We have more audience than MSNBC.
Well, I'll tell you this. We definitely outpace, you know, some of the very well compensated talkers on Fox News Radio, like Todd Starnes, and Sirius XM, like Andrew Wilkow. And I'll bring those two up again. We mentioned this before, but they are, you know, basically so-called conservatives, and so we're outpacing them. I finally, you know, did the test, the measuring test, and we got beat by one person. I was watching O'Reilly the other night, and he was interviewing Bernie Goldberg, and Bernie Goldberg is, you know, he's a regular
the token Jewish so-called conservative.
He's on O'Reilly all the time, regular contributor to O'Reilly, and O'Reilly put out his website, BernardGoldberg.com, so I checked it out. Now, Bernie beat us by just a little bit, but not a lot, considering the fact that he's on O'Reilly every week, and we're still, you know, we're tit for tat with him. You know, it
shows that the public needs some education, because why would you get that watered down version of conservatism when you can get the 200 proof real thing here at the political?
Well, a lot of people like the 200 proof real thing, and that's why I think we've done as well as we have in terms of audience. Now, of course, we rely on listener support. We have no, you know, foundations or endowments keeping us on the air, and we did hit our quarterly fundraising drive last month. But, I mean, folks, when you're listening to The Political Cesspool, you're listening to a show that speaks truth to power about racial realities and Jewish power and influence, but you're also listening to a media outlet that very much competes with the establishment, not only in terms of size. Now, obviously, yeah, people like O'Reilly and Limbaugh obviously have much bigger audiences than we do. We're not ever going to inflate the power that we have. We do have a lot of power, and we do beat a lot of people that you wouldn't expect us to beat, people with actual budgets, and we even break news. You know, as we're talking about in the second and third hour tonight, we're going to talk about how we broke the news, being the first live broadcast to interview someone who was in Oregon just before the takeover of the federal facility occurred there at the wildlife refuge. We broke that story. Now, of course, the media would have covered it anyway. That story was too big. It's not like everybody was listening to us and said, oh, we better cover the story too. But as a matter of fact, we were the first to talk about the takeover.
And furthermore, nobody will cover it like we cover it. Nobody will go in depth like we do. Nobody will give the real rationale and give a sympathetic portrayal of the protesters. in the mainstream media, they will not be sympathetic.
And we'll be
portrayed.
Sympathetic, but we'll also say...
We'll also be objective.
Objective in saying that it wouldn't be an action that we would have taken because, you know, being a martyr at this point isn't
but on the other
really
hand,
a good look for us.
They are reacting to a real grievance,
absolutely.
A real miscarriage of justice.
Well, you know, hey, look, even Donald Trump said, look, you got to go. He said if he was president, he would say, you got to go. You got to get out of there. But why don't you come to the White House and we'll talk about it? That's what he said he would tell Ammon Bundy when Donald Trump talked about this last week. That's the thing. I wouldn't advise anybody to take the course of action that they took, but I would say, you know, I would take a Donald Trump tack.
It points out the judicial tyranny we've been living under in America since the Brown versus Board of Education decision.
All right, well, we got to take a break. Keith, I am impressed. We covered just about everything you brought in. And we did it fast. It was a nice rapid-fire hour. When we come back, we're going to settle into the Oregon story for the remainder of the show. You don't want to miss this, folks.
I'm going out to my car to get Eddie's Christmas gift.
Oh, how about that? Go to the parking lot, guys. We'll be right back. Take it outside.